What about Jalen's speed? Why does it look like Jalen is less explosive than, I don't know, what I thought I saw just during training camp even? Like, it didn't seem like in that game he was taking big bites on the ground like I thought he could, like gaining that edge like I thought he could. Is there more to that?
I don't know. I mean, he still feels, when I see him in person, as explosive as I've ever seen him.
That's good.
I don't know that they did. It didn't feel like they did as many of the quarterback like design, like runs and things like that. But yeah, I think maybe the surface had something to do with that. But you know, every time I've seen him, you know, operate, it feels like he's still very, very explosive. Obviously, he's not the same type of player, and he doesn't prepare to be the same type of player that he was, you know, 3, even 2 years ago. Right? We're just not running him as much, and you know, part of that's, you know, we want to keep him healthy for a full year, I'm sure. But yeah, I can't really. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen necessarily that big of a drop off, but I also haven't been like keying in on that, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Coming up in a couple minutes here, another name for you to have a chance to win Eagles Falcons tickets for the Monday night game. We'll get to that in about 2 minutes. Ed in Phoenixville right now. Hi, Ed.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Jason. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Good morning.
Thanks, Ed.
Real quick, I just wanted to, you know, tell you, Jason, that how much I appreciate all the time you gave Philadelphia. I mean, you're one of the all-time greats. But what really, you know, I rarely develop like sort of these like emotional like connections to players. But what really kind of drove that home was when I forget who wrote the article, but when Lane Johnson came out about his struggles with mental health and how you supported him. That, you know, that friendship, that brotherhood just kind of just drove that home for me. So that really meant a lot. So really appreciate that.
I really appreciate you saying that, Ed. Thank you.
No, but, and of all your accomplishments, all your All-Pros, Super Bowl, I have to say the most impressive thing that you can do, I think you and my 2-year-old daughter are one of the two people that can do a perfect ass the ground squat. When you have to like call out, you know, the protections, you're like, I just got back from the gym and had the trainer work on me for 30 minutes just to get halfway there, you know. So I mean, the athlete, it's like that's the only kind of athleticism that I can kind of relate to. But you know, it's an absolute pleasure to speak with you. Really
great to speak with you. Got to have the good ankle flexion. It comes down to ankle flexibility. That's bending. Yeah.
I don't know how you see. How do you see anything from down there? Like, you can really see 11 defenders from a 3-point stance with your head way, way down.
Okay, typically I'm not looking at the corners, right? So I'm gauging, okay, what's the front, where are the linebackers at, and where are the safeties at? That's like where I start, right?
Yeah.
Come up, okay, are they the tight ends to the right? There should be in an over front if they're a nickel personnel. Are they in that front? Okay, they're in that front. If they're not in that front, you know, alarm bell start ringing like, hey, there could be a blitz. Why would they be in something different? And then you kind of go through the game like that. And then after that, okay, the linebacker should be here. If it's a shell, they should be here. If it's going to be a single high, you know, if it's a blitz, they might be pushing to boss. Like, you kind of go, and then the safeties confirm that. Right?
You kind of go. Like, this is how your brain works. It's fascinating to hear that checklist one by one by one by one that every single snap you automatically go through.
Hey, Ed, give me a great answer. What amazes you?
6'6", 340 pounds, Jordan Davis running a 4.7840 at the combine.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, I remember. So his number at the combine was very similar to Jerry Rice's. So Jerry Rice was what, John? A 4.71. And Jordan Davis, was it a 4.78?
4.78 for Jordan Davis.
I mean, that's the thing about Jerry. See, the thing about Jerry Rice and Wayne Gretzky and Larry Bird, all three of them were so much more accomplished than their natural athleticism would. I mean, Bird and Gretzky were not, they weren't blazing.
No.
I mean, Larry Bird could not jump that much. But some guys, they just are way ahead of everyone else in knowing the game and when to be and where to be and all that stuff.
I think that's
hand-eye coordination, all that stuff.
I think all that's part of it. And then I think another huge part is the smoothness of the athlete. Like, I think Jerry had the ability, as a receiver, it's more important to make every route look the same than it is to be blazing fast. If you're going to be like a possession receiver, right? And
Puka
if you can make that comeback look the same as a go route, the same as an out, the same as like an O, like if you can make all that look similar and get out of the breaks with timing, that's what it comes down to. And like you look at a guy like Wayne Gretzky.
Yep.
Wayne, there's a great, I think he's on Masterclass where he's talking about his father and how he would train him growing up in his backyard on his, like this ice that they made. And he would just bang the puck around the boards. And he just had that feel for where that was going to be. But outside of that, you talk to goalies. He knew how to make a low shot look just like goalies a lot of times are reading like hands and they're trying to picture. Like, so all those guys that are the best, it feels like they're able to be unpredictable and they're able to make it all look similar. And Bird, for sure. I mean, the behind-the-back passes.
Incredible.
And,
yeah.
So you don't actually need to be the best athlete from like a skill standpoint or a talent standpoint. I think that, and that's something that even my brother, that's a trait that he's always had that I never had. I was always a brute, you know, pound. You know, I want to play every sport with a helmet so that I can just hit the guy in front of me.
Yeah.
And Travis out there playing basketball and like making guys, crossing guys over on the play. Yeah. There's a smoothness and like a coordination there that takes those guys to the next level that becomes harder to defend the longer you go. Like, it's, I don't know. It's,
man.
Did you ever watch Zinedine Zidane?
You don't think you
soccer?
Have that?
Huh? No. No.
I don't know.
Brother. No. All right, I wish.
So let's give you another name here because, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the next game is a home game, a real home game, not a Brazil home game. And because of it, we're giving away Eagles tickets tomorrow here on WIP at 8 o'clock, courtesy of NovaCare. Now, this is when you need to listen Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday leading into the home game for a name. So Friday, you can string the four names together and win the tickets.
And the name is...
Now, I was going to say this name for tomorrow, but with Jason here, we're going to it today. Nick Foles!
Hey!
Who this weekend, or Monday night, that is.
How's everyone doing?
That's right. The Eagles will honor with a red carpet, a long red carpet, for Nick Foles as he gets... You got that, James?
No, I think
you
we got that.
Yeah. No, not very subtle.
Long! All right, so know the name Nick Foles tomorrow.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Know the two names that we gave you the last 2 days, and one more name we'll give you tomorrow. Again, these tickets being given away courtesy of NovaCare. So if you have the four names tomorrow at 8 o'clock, you can win the tickets for the Eagles and Falcons Monday night. So, Jason, let's talk about Nick Foles. I mean, you're going to have this day someday, his day Monday night, but it's going to be special. Can you just, like, try to put into words Nick Foles' impact on the Philadelphia Eagles, on you, on his teammates, on the city of Philadelphia? Like, how do you even tackle that one?
I don't know. I don't know if they can. I mean, the amount of emotions that everybody in the city felt upon winning that Super Bowl, and then not only that, but you know, Nick Foles happened to play the best game of his career in the biggest game against the best quarterback in the history of the National Football League, and it's just it's the epitome of like a Cinderella story, and it's a guy that was unheralded, really wasn't successful at other stops. Like, I love Nick, and like,
true.
I think he's a fantastic player, and he was one of the guys. Whenever he's in the huddle, I felt like, hey, we're about to go dominate. But for whatever reason, of these other stops, it never really panned out. And I think that in some ways, Philly probably even loves that more. Like, there's something about Philadelphia, and we've talked about it. Like, one of the reasons I'm doing this show, even, like, they love their own more than like most cities do. And like, Nick Foles feels like he's Philadelphia's.
Totally.
Yeah. More so than like, I don't know that anybody feels like it's like this, like, it just feels very, very much
like
he was
like
meant
this.
To play for the Philadelphia Eagles, and that there was like this divine plan for him to come here and dominate. And just such a great person, a great teammate, and a fantastic player. And I don't know that there's any type of words that can sum up what he means to the city. I mean, you talk about like Rocky. Like, I don't. These are like, he basically was like the Rocky of quarterbacks in the NFL, kind of.
Yeah.
How surprised were you or shocked when he was traded from here? Because that blindsided me, and I thought he was pretty good. I mean, you guys were 5-2 when he got injured, technically 6-2 if you play that game out. The prior year, he had won all those games, and then, like, he's gone.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised because I think you had heard rumblings throughout the organization that something like that was – I think when I heard the rumblings, I was surprised, but I think that – you know, at that point, I think there had been sufficient noise, if I remember correctly, to back then, that there was probably something in the works. But, you know, in this league, they tend to move on quick if you're not like financially like beholden to the team, or you're not like a high draft pick. It's just, you know, it's a what are you doing for me now league. And yeah, we were 5-2, but I don't think we were necessarily performing as well as we wanted. I think that they were frustrated a little bit with some things. And
he was backpedaling back then. He was backpedaling. He was not as good in 14 as he had been in 13.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, he bore the brunt of a lot of that, and so did other players on the team that got moved on from, quite frankly.
Deshaun and LeSean. I mean, yeah. The three main offensive guys, if you will. Yep.
And then we lost Macklin the very
next
offseason.
That's exactly right.
You know, and as much as Chip, when he came in, really took the NFL by storm, you know, as teams continually game planned us and they continually got that stuff, you know, we kind of like stalled out. We didn't really keep evolving, which was so unique because like that's what Chip's whole thing was. It was like, you know, being creative and innovative, and that's why it became what it did. And then it just kind of like stalled out. And like, even if you went to the 2013, we went out to like a big, like jumped out the gate to a huge start with Vic, and then Nick took over for a little bit. Then teams started picking up what we were doing, and we kind of stalled out. And then that Oakland game, where Nick set like tied the record for most touchdown passes in a single game, we unleashed a whole new package that we had never done. And like they couldn't defend us because of the tempo, and they hadn't game planned it. So you just wonder, like, if we could have kept doing stuff like that, what that offense and Nick and that team with how loaded it was offensively could have done.
No question.
Because I think retroactively looking back, I think they looked at it like, hey, we're not executing. But I think, like, from my perspective, it looks like, you know, we probably were getting predictable, and it was making it really hard in certain categories.
215-592-9494. Ree, I'm guessing as the Eagles honor Nick Foles Monday night, they're not going to invite Chip Kelly to be part of the ceremony, right?
No.
Could you imagine that? And here he is, Chip Kelly. All right, let's go to Rob in South Jersey. Rob, hello.
What's going on, Joe? How you guys doing?
We're doing
good.
All good, my man.
Jason, I just want to say absolutely a pleasure to talk to you, man. And I want to say without shame that in February 2018, you made a grown man cry. being at the Pray, man, your speech, I was with my wife and our friend at Tavern on Broad, man. And
Tavern on Broad. Great, baby.
Great spot. Yep.
The tears just, I'm not kidding, man. My wife was kind of laughing at me. She's like, you really crying? I'm like, this is the greatest day ever. But again, just appreciate all your service. And one other thing is that, you know, growing up, I'm 37 right now, and I had a hero growing up about how Philly never won, Philly's a loser town, and players, some players got it, but nobody ever understood us like you. And I just want to say that I appreciate it so much, man, because you truly, truly understand us as a fan base. And for that, well, I think I speak for the rest of the city, are forever grateful for all your service with the Eagles.
Thanks a lot, brother. I really appreciate it. And, it was my pleasure. Trust me.
Yeah, so about the Birds this year, I just want to say, looking at the game on Friday, I talked to Ruben and Rob Ellis before the season started. Obviously, Eagles offense, plenty of firepower.
Yeah.
We talked about how this offense looked okay in Jalen, you know, threw two picks. We still put up 34 points.
Exactly.
We left a lot of points on the board, off the board.
Yeah, no question. And, I mean, listen, I tweeted after the game, you know, I there was a lot of sloppiness offensively, and obviously the turnovers hurt. But there was a ton of great stuff to look at in that first week, and it was against a team that's supposed to be a Super Bowl contending, top of the NFC team. I think that Jalen did a lot of really good things. I think it's easy to look at the negative moments from that game for concern. But if I'm looking at it, they have a new OC. They have a new center. They're operating silent count with a new center and a new guard. They're in an away environment that's slicker than ice. There were a lot of variables in there to cause an offense to kind of be sloppy and to flutter and to struggle. I mean, we saw the Jets. Everybody's claiming that the Jets are going to be the best team in the NFL. And it's just not that simple. You got all these new pieces, game one, to be clicking and humming like that. And I thought for them to put up that amount of points, week one, with all of those new things, even with the amount of talent they have, was an impressive performance offensively.
Hey, Rob, give me what amazes you.
Oh, what amazes me. I joked around. I don't really have an answer. I'm going to say James Seltzer.
Great answer, Rob. Come on, man. Even Larry Anderson doesn't like your answer.
No excuse for that kind of answer.
You should keep your mouth shut.
That caller should have kept his mouth shut. Better to have no answer than that freaking answer. 215-592-9490.
You would be lost without
me. I would be, James. Speaking of answers, it was really interesting yesterday. Vic Fangio asked about N'Kobe Dean and Devin White. What he said, we'll play that audio for you next. Plus, a lot more with Jason up ahead. Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on 94W. All right, Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie on this Thursday morning. Jason Kelce with us, as he will be every Thursday, 7:30 to 8:30. Typically in studio. There'll be some weeks when Jason's not in studio, but for the most part, he'll be here. And, of course, later in the show, Howard Eskin at 9. Little life advice with the hammer at 9:15. So get those scenarios in. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. What do you need some help with in life? And I'll try to give you some good advice coming up at 9:15 today.
Speaking of life advice.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if this is life advice or wonder what Jason Kelce thinks about this advice. Jason, we had a, I don't know if incident's the right word earlier in the show.
An incident? We had an incident. I've been here for two and a half hours. I don't remember an incident.
Yeah, so let's just play it for Jason.
An incident.
Yeah, so Jason, Joe DiCamera said this earlier. I just want to get your opinion on it.
Okay. One correction. I don't make many mistakes, but I did make one a few minutes ago. I had it backwards. If Kelce or Jason and I are boys, score one for him.
Would
mean he's boys with. All right. Let's get the pecking order straight.
Make sure you.
It's a very Joe quote right there.
Yes, it is.
Nothing less. That's why we're boys.
Wow.
That's the type of quote he gives.
Wow, look at that.
I appreciate that.
How lucky for you, Jason, apparently.
He's so accepting of the hottie hammer. He understands that it's tongue-in-cheek.
People know I'm joking, right?
Sometimes I forget.
Believe me.
Times.
And sometimes I'm not joking.
That's right.
You like Beat the Hammer when we do that on Friday? You hear that segment?
Honestly, I when I listen to it, it's impressive. Very impressive.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
You're right. I do come up with a lot of good questions. You know?
That is an underrated part right there.
You're right. Sometimes it's impressive what he does, what Jimmy does is very impressive, that is demanding.
All right, so Jason, we were talking earlier in the show before you were in here. We were speculating if you have had an interaction with Mike Lombardi after your speech.
I actually just had one recently at NFL Films. I was doing something for Ryan Clark. I was going on his show, The Pivot, and ran into Belichick, and I think Mike Lombardi and him are doing something.
They're very close, those two.
And, we had a nice interaction. I mean, I think that we're both over that situation. And I think, he's a really talented analyst and knowledgeable football personality. And I think at that moment, with the rocky steps and everything, you want to latch on to any quote you can to, you know, show what the narrative was on Doug Peterson going into his career with the Philadelphia Eagles.
That was it. That was the narrative.
I said Mike's quote, but it could have been a lot of different quotes, and that was the whole point of bringing it up. Wasn't necessarily to call out Mike Lombardi. It was more to call out, you know, this was the narrative of a lot of people when Doug Peterson was hired, and, you know, being on the steps celebrating a Super Bowl championship, it felt like announcing one of those was going to be, you know, poignant point to make.
Yeah. But was that such a huge moment that you actually had to say that to Mike Lombardi? Like, was it understood?
I think it was understood.
With Mike? Okay.
Mike actually was very, like, he was smiling, I was smiling. We both kind of knew. But at the same time, I think that he, being someone that's been involved with the game and so many high-level athletes and coaches, understood it. And I think that even right afterwards, like, he was like, you know what? Jason was right. I got that one wrong.
Wow. Well, that's the thing. You do.
And that was back then. So I don't think that he felt any type of like animosity towards it. And I think that, you know, if it always felt like he took it really well and understood where it was coming from.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, look, we all have wins in life. We all have losses. I mean, that was an L for him. He's got to own it and move on. I mean, it is what it is. Right. I mean, he was wrong. Yeah. So,
sound pretty foolish sticking with that after the dude won the Super Bowl.
Speaking of wins, so
he actually gave me a not likely to be earned incentive as a rookie that I actually earned And so that's a huge mistake.
Huge
mistake.
Much to Al Davis's chagrin.
Yeah.
So speaking of
Mr. Davis, don't forget. Right. Yeah.
Speaking of wins, Jason, your future sister-in-law had a bunch of wins last night with the VMAs.
Oh my gosh. How many did she end up getting?
Tay-Tay cleaning
seven,
up.
Seven, I believe, including the biggest of the night.
All obviously very, very deserved. She is like just so talented. It's ridiculous. Not only as a singer, a songwriter, production-wise, like she's so involved in every facet of it. And, you know, when I think of like the big names in music that have sustained over such a long time the way she has,
yeah.
And it feels like all of them kind of get to that. Like, I think like she's at that like Bruce Springsteen like type.
Oh,
like,
I think she's past that.
I'm not saying like...
Here's where I think she is. This is just me. I didn't live through a lot of this. No. No, I'm not
the boss.
I'm not knocking the boss. Here's my opinion. Okay. Yeah. I'm going 60, 70 years.
Yeah.
John Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah.
Elvis, Michael Jackson, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Sinatra.
You
figure out your order, but to me, like, that's your five or six. Like, she's there.
Yeah. And, again,
maybe Mick Jagger. Like, that's the list.
And I think what's so impressive about her is that it's so self-controlled. Like, she's so involved in all of it. Like, I think that a lot of these guys, again, they were great artists, and that's what the profession is. But when you can be the great artist as well as the great business manager, as well as the great, like, producer, and, like, when you wear all of those hats, it's just remarkable to me that she can do all that.
What's it like to be around?
She's just from right down the road.
Well, no question.
I mean, that's such a point of pride for all of us. Right. That really
it's a cool
means
thing.
Something.
What's it like to be in her orbit? I mean, that whole thing.
Well, in terms of what?
In terms of there's cameras everywhere, which of course you have anyway, but around her it's a different level. It's like you hang around Scottie Pippen, there's cameras. You hang around Michael Jordan, there's 10 times more
cameras.
She's
arguably the most famous person in the world.
Yeah, what's that thing like?
I mean, it's a lot. It's there's a lot of people applying attention at all times, which is positive and negative at times. You know, I think that obviously when you're trying to be private and, you know, live your life, it can be overwhelming. But yeah, I think that, you know, she's built up such a fan base and a contingency and an amount of people that are really, really just like love her. That it's really cool all at the same time.
Great.
It's crazy that you can differentiate like the crunch and the demand of the public between an NFL Pro Bowl All Pro, like maybe the best center to ever play, and the starlet who is the most popular singer on the planet, really like the most popular personality on
the planet. It's an incredible level of fame and attention.
Certainly it is. But then you can differentiate how much bigger hers is. She is on top of the world, literally.
Jason, he just called you small. He's like, yeah, this Kelsey guy's small potatoes.
I don't think it's even, I mean, I'm unquestionably compared to her, very small.
All right, so let's.
It is incredible.
That is true, actually. Yes. All right, so two things on the upcoming game Monday night. Let's start game, and then we'll go to your role with Monday Night Football, and it'll be interesting in front of the crowd. So the game. So I feel like the Eagles play Kirk Cousins every year. It's one of the more astounding things. There are times you guys have gotten him. There are times he got you.
In Washington, he got after us.
Well, how about in Minnesota in 2018? It was bombs away with Diggs and Thielen.
Yeah.
That was a disaster that game. All right. Or maybe that was 19. I think it was 2018. The challenge of facing Atlanta, what do you make of that? I mean, I thought they'd be better. They lost at home to Pittsburgh. What do you make of the Eagles versus Atlanta Monday night?
Yeah, Atlanta, well, I think the Eagles, obviously, I think that they clean up all the little mistakes on offense, take care of the football. They should be humming. And I think that defensively, you're trying to eliminate the big plays and some of the things that, you know, they kind of gave up in the game last week. They did some really good things in the red zone and a lot of promise there as well. Atlanta... You know, I think everybody's really down on them after that first game. I don't think people were expecting them to play and, you know, and be that sluggish and lethargical, I guess, offensively against the Steelers. The Steelers are really good on defense. I don't think you should fall asleep on this team one bit. You know, Kirk Cousins has been a great quarterback in this league for a long time. Coming off of an injury, probably wasn't fully himself in that first game. But I've seen
Could you tell that? Could you differentiate? Like he looked a little off.
There's a lot of people saying he didn't look like he moved the same, and you know he's operating more out of the pistol. I think they're like over 90% in the pistol last week, and
that says something.
Yeah, but I think the biggest thing for me, T.J. Watt makes a lot of quarterbacks look very average to below average, and so does the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I don't like. Go look at the Steelers defense last year, especially when T.J. Watt's in the lineup. They are very good, like a very good defense.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, you know, after 1 week I'm ready to cash it in and say, like, this Atlanta team is not going to be any good with Kirk Cousins. It'll be a big game for him and that offense, and they're going to be fired up coming into the link to overcome all this narrative that is out there. So I would be ready if I'm the Eagles for a really hungry, hard-fighting Atlanta team coming in to our house.
I was so excited with the way our defense responded in the game week one, you know, keeping the sudden changes to field goals.
That's why we won the game. They kept it close out of the first two drives, turning it over in your own like area.
Yeah.
You know how crazy it is? They only got 6 points out of that.
Yep. It is crazy that we won and that we gave the ball away two times more than they did. That just doesn't make sense at all. But Vic Fangio, I was wondering, we heard he was around. We heard that he's been an advisor in the past.
Yeah.
How much did guys know him? Like, did you guys as players know that Vic was around upstairs, downstairs? Did people interact with him, or was he just doing his own thing? And has that helped him adjust more easily to just stepping right in here and knowing the personnel and knowing what'll work?
So I guess I'll address, like, how much did we know or interact with Vic first when he was an advisor?
And Jason, just to be clear, this is the 2022 playoffs, right? He came in at the very end of that year.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that, so the defensive players, I don't know. I don't know how involved he was on a player aspect of those defensive guys. From an offensive standpoint, I probably interacted more with him than most other players because I was involved a little bit more schematically with the game plan.
Wow.
And I think sometimes Stout and he would talk about things, trying to figure out what was, the defense doing in the red zone, what was happening here. And I think that that's where I would ultimately end up asking questions as well.
Wow.
But he's definitely, he was a private person, not private. He's a more reserved human being in like a great way. Like even listening to him in press conferences, there's something that I just absolutely love about that guy.
We adore him.
He just feels like this like defensive coordinator. There's no nonsense.
Exactly.
He's not gonna. He's not worried about hurting anybody's feelings.
quite the opposite.
It's very. It is very, very refreshing.
Yeah.
And even back then, I remember we were in the playoffs, and we're getting ready to play the New York Giants in the first round, or I guess we had already had the bye.
Put another way, you're getting ready to kick the Giants' ass.
Exactly.
I guess, let me be clear.
And Vic comes up to me, and I'm up there talking to Stout, and he says, "You nervous?" And I'm like, the gall of this. sorry, beep that. Sorry. So sorry. And I'm like, and it pissed me off. This guy's questioning whether I'm going to be fired up to play, and But I just love that unfilteredness. It's not like he's going to try and fluff me up. He's like, he knew I was going up against Dexter Lawrence, who's a great player in this league.
Sure.
And was ready to come after me. And they were fired up. They just come off a huge win against Minnesota. And they had tore their offensive line to pieces.
Wow.
And he's just a guy that I think just a tremendous personality. In that old school, feel that I think is important to have in a building.
I like that.
I really do. So.
I think it is rare and becoming rarer in today's world.
I agree with that, John. A whole heart. I think we all know that we wish Ben Simmons had been coached by a Vic Fangio somewhere along the line. Yeah. All right, Jason, one last thing here, because, of course, Monday you're going to be front center at the link. I mean, on TV, but also in front of the crowd.
Yeah.
So what are your expectations for your second time on TV with ESPN in the regular season? Is already back home for you. What's that going to be like?
Man, I'm really happy I got the first one out of the way. Not in this environment, because I think it's going to be pretty chaotic. We're going to be outside. We're going to be, I think, right outside of Xfinity, if I'm not mistaken, in the parking lot. So it's going to, it has the potential to really be very ruckus. you know, Nick Foles is coming back. I think Fletch might be coming back. There's a lot of, I think the Philadelphia fans are going to be really fired up. Obviously, the first game at home of the game of the year, if you don't count Brazil, which I think none of us do.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I'm really looking forward to it.
Good. Does ESPN want you to cut the "we" out of your vocabulary when talking Eagles, or do they give you the green light there?
No, I think they give me the green light. I think as long as the big thing is I need to remain objective and fair in my analysis of football teams and even the Eagles. But I think that everyone realizes, including, you know, when I've talked to ESPN, like, everyone's going to know that you have, like, an allegiance to the Eagles. You played your entire career there.
Yep.
And I think you lean into that. You still show that, like, that's your team. But you can do that as well as, you know, being a fair voicing the things that need to be voiced.
True. Yeah. Jason, great job, man. We love having you in here on Thursdays.
Alrighty. Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you. Thanks,
there he is, Jason Kelce. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up in 1 minute, the aforementioned Vic Fangio. He said something yesterday about N'Kobe Dean and Devin White. I enjoy the way this guy presents. We'll get to the audio, what Fangio said about the linebackers, in 1 minute's time. Hey, Joe DeCamera here to tell you about United Tire, and they are sensational at what they do. And I always say United Tire. I should say United Tire and Service. That's the name of the company. United Tire and Service. All the tires you can imagine, all the service you can imagine as well. You guys know the deal. Take care of your car. It'll take care of you. We'll get your car to United Tire, and they will take care of your car for you, and it'll last a long time and save you money in the end. Plus, right now, buy any four tires at United Tire, you receive a free oil change or a basic four-wheel alignment to keep those tires wearing correctly. It's a great deal. Nobody beats United. That's an amazing team at United Tire, and of course, you should get yourself there. 10 different locations throughout the Delaware Valley. Why go anywhere else? So, start with their website, unitedtire.com. Find the location nearest you at the website unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Well, the Eagles are driving with Vic Fangio this year. He talked yesterday about, listen, this was a surprise. I mean, in week one, I mean, look, if Devin White was injured and couldn't play, then obviously N'Kobe Dean would start. But N'Kobe was going to be the starter anyway. Fangio talked yesterday.
This is unprecedented, by the way, that this just was so matter-of-factly expressed.
Well, the way he's very clear yesterday. Listen to Fangio. He proclaims N'Kobe the starter, but also addresses the Devin White thing and more from training camp. Here's Fangio.
Do you think N'Kobe Dean did enough to start again should Devin White not be ready, or will he start even if Devin White is ready?
No, N'Kobe's the starter.
With N'Kobe the starter now, I'm curious, where does Devin White fit in, and have you talked with him about, you know, maybe N'Kobe being the starter now, considering he took so many first-team reps in training camp?
Yeah, obviously we've talked to him about it, and he's still a good player. He tweaked his ankle last week. He's still part of it and will be part of it.
So what was the type of that decision, Vic, to have N'Kobe as the starter? What did you see?
I just think from the start of camp to the end, he won the job.
How about that?
That's huge.
Just boom.
He clearly
tells you how he sees it. That's very true.
And that's what Jason was just talking
decisive,
about.
Decisive, though. Yeah. Like N'Kobe Dean came in here on a mission, and you could see it with the way he was playing in training camp.
Yep.
You could hear it with the way he was playing at training camp. You could hear the hits. Like, every time I looked up, because it was like, whoa, what was that? It was number 17,
mm-hmm.
And that happened several times, and eventually, and we were there a good amount this summer.
That's right.
Eventually, it's just like, okay, N'Kobe brings it, and I don't remember hearing that. I don't remember seeing that. This is a different man, motivated in a different way. This is going to be a different year.
Yeah, it's exciting to know N'Kobe has really elevated his game, and good for him, because a lot of athletes in that spot, you know, 2 years of struggle, they don't get out of it, and he did, which is really impressive.
Huge deal.
All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on the Eagles. You want to react to Jason and everything he said there in the hour. Also, the Phils with another good win last night. Look, that was a formula game for the Phillies, if you will. A formula game. You get your starting pitcher to give you a good outing. You go to three of your top five relievers. They all give you one clean inning. You score enough runs. You turn the page. You move to the next day. And by the way, in turning the page, now the magic number under 10. But you know what's going to be interesting? And I really will be fascinated to see how the Phillies will handle this. When do you pop champagne? Three options. Make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make the playoffs. Win the division, clinch number one seed?
My guess is 9-13 division. My guess is division.
My guess is playoffs.
I don't think so. Because that's not been their goal this year. And also, when they make the playoffs, they're going to be so far out in front in the division.
I mean, it could be in a couple days.
They know
days.
The division's coming.
Yes, yeah, so relatively soon.
My guess is division, but you could be...
Rhea, when would you... If you're Rob Thompson, when would you tell the guys it's time to pop champagne now?
Division. They had. I mean, what has it been? How many years?
Well, boy, it's been
since
2011.
Yeah, 11, yeah.
Yeah, division.
I mean, it's an option. Here's where it gets tricky. Let's say you only have a one-game lead on the Dodgers and there's... 7 days to go. Do you want these guys? Look, there's two different forms of popping champagne. There's popping champagne, you drink two drinks. There's popping champagne, you drink 12
drinks.
We
know how the Phillies do when they pop the champagne.
Well, I know, but I mean, James, you don't want everyone to not play the next day.
It's a hangover game. You're right.
That's what I'm asking. Like, normally when you pop champagne,
we did it.
It's don't you think full it's systems
go. You're right. That's a good call, Joe, actually. I don't know. I didn't think
don't
about
think
that.
It's possible that they pull back, like, that they curtail the celebration.
No, I don't think
so. Yes, James.
For the season, I don't think they will as they move on through the playoffs.
No, but I'm saying, if you are in a fight with the Dodgers, which they will be.
No, I think he's talking period.
Early. Yeah. I do think they need to adjust the way that they react depending on the way the standings are elsewhere. Like that's.
But I mean, but they've never been in a position where they're in a battle for the one seed and there's six games left.
I know, but it just wouldn't it seem odd? Like, and I get it.
But you wouldn't want the guys to be drinking till 2 a.m. and have a game the next day.
Well, that's the issue, and I agree with you.
Sparkling cider for the first one. Then we go to the champagne.
I think about dehydration now. I think about, no, seriously, if we're not going to leg it out because we're worried about our hamstrings down the first baseline, I'm worried about drinking some champagne.
Well, I think guys won't play if they drink too much, you know.
Here's the deal. 93 Phils were not shut out until the day after they celebrated winning the division.
Oh, we know. What was it? In 2022, they lost to Houston 10-0 the day after. I have a baseball question, though, for you, because you said the formula last night, and I generally agree with that. Let's say it's the playoffs, and it's a game you have to have. Are you going to Estevez in the ninth, or are you going to Hoffman? Because I want it to be, I know that Estevez is the closer.
Hoffman.
If it is, I need to close this game out, I have to win this game, like, I trust Jeff Hoffman more than I trust.
Well, I don't trust him at all yet.
So here's where it gets interesting. I think Hoffman's better, so I would rather he pitch in the ninth, but hold on. But is Estevez going to then work in the seventh or eighth?
Well, that's my point. I think Kirkering has gotten to the point where he could do that Hoffman role, the fireman, the come in when you need a strikeout. Like, Kirkering could do that. Like, when the game's on the line, like, if I have to, and honestly, it'd be Strom Hoffman.
That'll be a Twitter poll coming up one of these days, because that is a fascinating question. Meanwhile, let's get to today's two different Twitter polls, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. If you're thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle, think Armin Chevrolet. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. All right, first poll question, getting close to the Phillies in the playoffs, which we were just talking about, which emotion do you feel more for October? Is it A, excited, or B, nervous? Second poll question, after week one, do you feel better or worse about the Eagles than you felt before the season? A, better, B, worse. You can vote and, of course, weigh in on the phone lines at 215-592-9494 about all these poll questions. Let's go to Scott in King of Prussia. Hi, Scott.
Greetings. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining me.
That's a weird one right there, but okay.
Yeah. I actually was calling on behalf of the law firm of Sosa and Sosa. I wanted to talk to Jason. Perhaps he's getting in his car at this point.
Probably.
It's time for him to right a wrong. He needs to give a certain person a rematch, a sanctioned rematch.
Oh,
over all the rules. He's been ducking this, and it's gonna chase him into retirement until he comes back and says that he'll take on Seltzer in a proper match with proper size cups with a third party referee.
I have a feeling this will not chase him into retirement. I could be wrong.
You know what? Until then, he's just ducking you, and he's running. He's just running.
Well,
and I think he's okay with that. Like, he doesn't have any qualms
totally
about
agree.
Ducking and running.
It wouldn't shock me if it happens again, Scott.
On behalf of all the people in Philadelphia, I'm back in Seltzer. I think Seltzer will smoke his ass in a 12-ounce cup.
Let's not get carried away. The dude drank a 30-ounce beer in 5.7 seconds. He's pretty good at it.
Seltzer, I got you. You might be a long shot in Vegas, but we got your back. Kelsey, you're running. This has been just, you've been ducking it this entire time. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone and give the kid a proper rematch. He's going to beat your ass and
Look, he's going to beat your ass in front of the world.
You know what's funny is that I'm older than Jason Kelce. Give the kid a proper
Yeah. By the way, if he's listening to this right now, he might turn his car around and come right on back in here. All right, Scott, give me an answer for something amazing. What amazed you?
What amazes me is the voice of James Earl Jones and just how great it was. I don't know if that was your premise, but that's my answer.
No, listen, some people have voices that are just different, and that's something to say the least. Speaking of voices, we love hearing the voice of the Diddy, Ray Dittinger, not so much because of his voice, but because of the wisdom that comes out when he speaks. Ray Diddy on Bryce Hoff, what he said this week to us, we'll get to that coming up in 1 minute.
As the seasons change, days will get shorter and nighttime temperatures will get colder. Change in temperatures can have your HVAC system working hard to keep your home comfortable. So give yourself a stress-free fall and prepare your HVAC system with a seasonal tune-up from Horizon Services. Don't wait until it's cold to turn on your system and find out the wear and tear from last year has caused major issues. Call Horizon Services today to clean up your system before starting it up for the season. If you want peace of mind this fall, trust Horizon's expert technicians to get the job done right the first time so your HVAC system is ready for the cooler temperatures. Horizon will help you avoid costly breakdowns so you can go into the fall knowing your system is ready for any temperature. Thanks to Horizon Services, your home will stay cool and comfortable. Click or call day or night. Horizon Services available 24/7. Just go to horizonservices.com. That's horizonservices.com. Horizon Services. Help is on the way.
All right, so a day after the Phillies get a sweep and an impressive sweep, really playing good baseball again as we approach mid-September, near October. That's on the table, but so too the Eagles. And, you know, it was interesting when Jason Kelce was in here with us earlier, his message about Bryce Hoff, if I had to sum it up, was basically, don't judge him too harsh, too early. That field was a disaster and probably did have a dramatic impact on the edge rushers, especially trying to bend coming around the edge.
So, and what about the fact that Hassan Reddick, who is a similar type of rusher, depends on his explosion around the edge. He struggled in the Super Bowl. And his first two games as an Eagle, 2022, zero sacks, zero pressure.
I don't put as much into that.
And we were concerned back then.
Well, I remember it started slow.
The investment wasn't what we expected.
No, I know. I do remember
he ended up with 16 sacks during the regular season that year.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he had zero after the first two games.
But I will say.
And zero pressures, too.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Two things to me different, Reddick on the way in than Huff. Number one, Reddick had back-to-back double-digit sack seasons. So it's not based on 1 year. Number two, Huff's big year last year, there were two red flags coming in. Two red flags. One, he didn't play that much because they didn't want him having him out there against the run very much. That's not good. Two, a lot of the sacks were because he was just unblocked.
And that is... That's the case for a lot of players.
I wouldn't say a lot. I wouldn't say a lot. It happens at times.
It happens a lot.
All right, let's listen to Ray, who clearly was not, you know, when we talked to him this week. I mean, look, Ray's sensible enough to know, yeah, we got to see more games to really know on Bryce Hoff. But Ray came out kind of swinging on Bryce Hoff's whiff in game one. Here's Ray the other day. Bryce Hoff, are you concerned out of the gate?
Yeah, it got to the fourth quarter, and I started asking, did he make the trip? You know?
I mean, Ray doesn't normally go there.
No, he doesn't.
He played less than
the other guys coming off the edge. Like,
look.
Less than...
Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know...
Brandon Graham, 35, 36...
Something like that.
Years old. It just doesn't make sense that you would expect so much from him.
I know. But, all right, let's get some more of Ray because he continued on.
They paid this guy a boatload of money based on one season. And it was fair to ask, you know, was it one season? Or is this really reflective of the kind of player that he is? And we weren't going to know that until we got to see him in live action. And not much. I don't want to judge him on one game. But for one game, it was not exactly what you would call an auspicious debut.
Look, that's, to me, totally fair commentary. No question. Speaking of the issue, you know, edge rushers and all that, we just talked about Brandon Graham. Let's get back to Vic Fangio on something he said yesterday. He was crystal clear that he needs stuff from Brandon Graham this year, even though it's year 15 from him. And obviously they're leaning on him. Here's Vic Fangio yesterday.
Brandon's still a good player. And I've told him several times, he's not on any ceremonial last year retirement parade. He's going to play. And he's still playing good.
I like that. I appreciate that. Let's do one more on this and listen to more of Vic Fangio, because he also talked about Huff specifically. You know, he had been asked about him. And I sense that this was a little – look, obviously Vic Fangio, John, and we've heard enough to know he's pretty straightforward in the press conferences. I did think this was one of the few times where I sensed he was trying to figure his way out of answering a question. Because if a guy is struggling, you can just lay him bare the way Parcells would. But I don't think the Eagles would want – Vic Fangio to do that. So even if that's sort of his inclination, I got the impression listening to this, he was trying to find a way to
build
not
him up still, just like be positive,
not crush him. You know, not all right. Here,
try to keep it as upbeat,
sort of,
as he could.
Yeah, sort of. Here's Vic Fangio yesterday on the Bryce Huff thing.
What did you see from Bryce Huff? It seemed like he only played like 45% of the snaps. Was he?
I think most of our guys, if you look at it, you know, we've had five guys up, and they all played about similar rep counts. And we're just rolling those guys.
What's Bryce need to do to play more?
You know, just separate himself from the other guys.
I mean, the end's pretty direct.
Can I give some credit here? I mean, how much have we talked about Taiwan Walker this year and why he's on the field? And over the years, the Jake Arrieta thing, the this, that, they paid him money or they drafted him high. That's why that guy plays. Like,
right.
I love that Vic Fangio is like, whoever the best player is going to play, because that's what it should be.
I mostly agree with you, James.
I know certain guys will get more rope, and I understand I'm saying at the end of the day, put the best players on the field.
So here, I agree with you on that front related to the Eagles, where I'll give the Phillies more credit than maybe you were
initially.
Lack
of options.
Well, two things. One, lack of options. I mean, there's no fifth starter. By the way, the young guy that had the surgery, what's his name?
Painter.
For those that don't know, he's thrown some balls over the last 10 days or
Looking good. Hitting 99.
So it's a shame. Like, he might have been the guy this year. If he hadn't gotten hurt, he'd be your fifth starter probably by this time of the year. All right. But here's the other difference. In baseball with the Phillies, they had some leeway because they had such a great team. You could afford to try Taiwan a couple extra times.
100%. I think they took it. They're just more games,
too. I think they took it like three or four starts too far.
Yes.
You know?
Totally. But it is something we've dealt with over the years in sports.
Listen. David Bell, I will always contend until the day I die that one year, whatever year it was, 03, 04, 05,
I think it was
whatever,
three, maybe
whatever
it was
year
right
it was. If David Bell is benched and Polanco plays third every day and Chase Utley plays second every day, the Phillies make the playoffs. I believe that then I'll always believe it. But instead, because they'd given David Bell money to be their third baseman and he stunk because he was old and just couldn't do it anymore. They frickin' platoon Polanco and Utley at second, and David Bell got to play every day at the third. It was dumb.